Father has a will, but it is to fulfill an ultimate goal that he has purposed in himself.
Why doesn't this make sense?
I don't understand it. We close our Bibles and let it go. And we forget about it. We don't meditate on it. Hello. Welcome to Kingdom Activate. And my name is Dayo. So, why am I here? In one verse, Acts 4:20, it says, we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. There are some things that has been revealed to me and I've understood, and I believe it's time to share them with the body of Christ and for whoever is willing to hear. For those who have ears, will hear. Thank you. So today we're starting our topic with Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure, hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. This is the King James Version. It's basically saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man finds, and when he found it, he hid it again. And for the joy of that treasure, for the joy of what he found, he sold everything he had to purchase the field where he found the treasure. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. You see, when I was studying this particular verse, it made sense to me because the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. We'll stop there. Like a treasure. What is a treasure? A treasure is a household for precious things. It's a hoarding where you hoard precious things. It's like a storehouse, right? And we do know that treasures are not easily found. And treasures are actually, they are intentionally sought for, sought after. I know this because many times in the Bible, when Jesus spoke to the multitudes, he always spoke in parables. He never spoke in plain understanding, only to the disciples. And in Matthew chapter 13, actually, let's go back to how this verse started. To Matthew chapter 13, from the first verse, it says that when Jesus had to, this was when he was deep in his service, deep in preaching, deep in his ministry. He was talking about his Father. He was talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he was also casting out demons. He was healing the blind. And in chapter 13, it says that Jesus just left the house and he was sitting by the lake. And the multitudes came to the point that he had to move to the lake. He had to sit in the boat. And the people sat and stayed on the shore. Then Jesus started teaching them. But in parables, he started talking. He spoke about the sower, the parable of the sower. He also spoke about the parable of the wheat and the tares. And the disciples asked him, why are you speaking in parables? He said, because it's given to you to hear and to understand. It's given to you to see and to perceive. Now, why would Jesus explain the parables? Because they did come later to ask, can you explain this? Can you explain that? Why would Jesus explain to some and not to others? Why did he speak in parables to some and he broke it down to others? This is why. Not only because they are his disciples. We know disciples are followers. Mostly because they are disciples, because he called them and they came. But because of the relationship. Number one, because of the relationship that allowed them to seek, to draw nearer and ask, what do you mean by what you've said? Because they had a closeness with him. They wanted to draw nearer, to understand. They really wanted to seek understanding. They really wanted to seek wisdom. They really wanted to go after the depth of the understanding that Jesus had. They wanted to have the life that he had. Because there was a time when Peter even said, he said, where am I going to go? you have the words of eternal life. I have nowhere else to go. So that's a posture that someone who is able to find the treasure, which is hid in the field. And remember, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure which is a storehouse for precious things, for valuable things. When you find a treasure, it can change your life and other people with it. When you find a treasure, it's going to change your social status, your economic status. You're able to pass wealth down to your children and to your children's children's children because of that treasure you found. So finding a treasure is actually a good thing. It's more than good. It's the best thing you could ever have. But now we understand that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. So where is this treasure that we're looking for? And how do we find it? What is a treasure? Why did Jesus liken the kingdom of heaven to a treasure? It's likened to a treasure because it is sought after. It is likened to a treasure because it is not available for every eye to see. It is likened to a treasure because it is scarce and very rare. It is likened to a treasure because, unlike what many Christians might think, you have to be committed, all in, wholeheartedly, seek after this treasure for you to find it. This reminds me and takes me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. I'm going to read. Enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. You see, the gate that leads to life has to be found. It is not something that is available for every eye to see. It's they that see, they that hear. There is a hearing ear, there is a seeing eyes. These seeing eyes belong to those that are actually, intentionally, consciously, deliberately looking for it with their whole heart, from within their heart, with their whole body, soul, and might. Looking to search, what does this mean? And I will give you examples in the Bible, because many of our heroes of faith also had to seek in order to find this kingdom of heaven. They had to seek in order to find, what exactly is God saying? I'm going to fast forward to verse 21. That is Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember, we were just talking about the gates. Listen, he says straight, I'm going to read 14 again. I'm trying to make this very clear to understand that the kingdom of heaven is not something you stumble upon. It's not, an unconscious find. No, the kingdom of heaven is a seeking after, a looking after, looking for. It is an intentional determination to find, if you know what I'm talking about. So, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. A gate gives access. It is straight and it is narrow. It leads to life. And in order for you to enter, there is an entering into that gate, because that gate is called the kingdom of heaven. That gate is called, we're going to get there. That gate is called straight and narrow. Okay? So in 21 it says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. How do you enter into the kingdom of heaven? Because there's been one word that really, one verse that has been bothering me since I found Christ again. And it just Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things? Everything else, bread. Everything else, what to eat, what to drink, where to sleep, what to wear. Your life literally will be added unto you if you sought after what? The kingdom of heaven. And really, most Christians, or people who serve God, do not seek after the kingdom of heaven. They do not seek after the will of the Father. They lift their hands in church. They pray, do their devotions, and they're okay just going about life. I put it to you today. The kingdom of heaven is given to those who seek after it, who look for it like a treasure. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Let your will be done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. If God's will is going to be done on earth, you have to seek to know, God, what is your will? Now, on to the examples. I'm going to use Moses, for example. Moses is actually the perfect example because it says that when he was tending to Jethro's sheep, this is in Exodus chapter 3. I would love for you to read it to understand exactly what transpired in that chapter when Moses saw the burning bush, so we can understand better. This was after he'd left Egypt. You know, he was brought up in Egypt, but he never really took on the culture of the Egyptians. He knew he was different. He knew he was an Israelite. And after he'd run away, after he murdered an Egyptian, he ran away for his life. He found Jethro, or Jethro found him, and Jethro began to nurture and teach him. At this point, when he found the burning bush, he was rearing the cattle. He was a shepherd to Jethro's sheep. So at this time, he was a shepherd to Jethro's sheep while he was in the wilderness. And then the Bible says he saw a burning bush. Now, to his eyes, he saw a burning bush. But the Bible already said it earlier. He said that an angel of God came like a flame of fire. You see, to him, it was a burning bush. But it was actually the angel of God. And then he looked properly and said, oh, why is it not consumed? It's burning, but it's not consumed. What does this mean? The word bush in Hebrew actually means to prick. To prick means that you're curious. Your curiosity is enlightened. You're excited. You're curious. What's happening? This is different. Why is it not making sense? That was the expression he had. And then he said, so now I'm going to turn. I'm going to turn now and look and see why this bush is burning and why it's not consumed. The Bible says, and the Lord saw that Moses turned to see. Then God called him. There I rest my case. Moses sought after, there was a curiosity in his mind. He saw something. You see, most of the time, because we are so busy with life, we have to pay the bill. We're so busy in life, we have so many events to attend. We have so, our schedules are full to the brim. Many times the angel of God is calling unto us. Many times when we read our Bibles in the morning, there is something pricking us like, oh, why doesn't this make sense? I don't understand it. We close our Bibles and let it go. And we forget about it. We don't meditate on it. We don't seek to understand exactly what it means. We are not curious enough to go deeper. When you turn to look deliberately, consciously, intentionally, you will see that which God has put in place for you. So what is the kingdom of heaven? From what we have read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14, and 21, mostly in 21, we know that the kingdom of heaven is a straight gate, is a narrow gate that people have to find. So you have to search for it. You have to look for it. Because the narrow gate is available for everyone. Everybody goes in there. We don't look for the narrow gate, the wide gate, the broad and wide gate leads to destruction. It's right here. Many go in there. Many. Everybody's going in the wide gate because it's wide enough for everyone to go in. One, because you don't have to look for it. It's there. You don't have to look for the wide gate. It is available. It's been a system, a structure available for everybody to find here on earth. What does the wide gate look like? You wake up in the morning. You brush your teeth. Just get ready for the job you've always gone for. Get ready to pay the bills that you've always done. Doing the things you do over and over again. And this was the life that was set up by the systems, the structures of the world. What does a wide gate look like? A wide gate looks like, oh, I have to make money. Yes, everybody's studying medicine. So yeah, you make a lot of money in medicine. Yeah, I love to make money. I would like to study medicine. What does a wide gate look like? Oh, it's gonna make me look good when I study medicine. A wide gate looks like everything that is available here on earth. A wide gate looks like the systems, the structures that have been put in place by the people who live here on earth. Wake up in the morning, get your kids to school, prepare to go to college. Just do whatever, as long as you are going with the flow, doing what everybody's doing, getting a job, a 9-to-5, doing everything possible to make ends meet. I have to pay my bills. Doing everything possible to plan for your future. I have to do this and that. Forgetting that there is a creator who has created the heavens and the earth and has made all things possible. All things are available for us. And he also said it. He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There is a seeking. And that's why the kingdom of heaven, which is the will of the Father, which is a secret, which is hid in heaven, is not for everyone to see, not for everyone to find, only those that seek after it. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. There is an entering into the kingdom of heaven. Are you going to enter the kingdom of heaven? What are you doing about entering the kingdom of heaven? I'm not talking about going to heaven. No. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm talking about here on earth. When Moses turned into that bush, God did not talk to him about heaven. God spoke to him about his will for his people and what part he had to play. The will of the Father is not for us to go to heaven, to exit the earth and just, I made it. That's not the position of a son of God who is willing to do the will of God here on earth. When Moses turned to see, God spoke to him about his will for his people, about the work he needs to do in order to make this possible. The will of the Father is, you see, Let me make this very clear. The Father has a will, but it is to fulfill an ultimate goal that he has purposed in himself. 430 years before Moses turned, God had promised Abraham that his people will come out of Egypt. He had promised Abraham that he would judge the land. He would judge the Egyptians. God had promised him that he would bring them into this land. So what is exactly is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is fulfilling the will of the Father, of what God had purposed in himself, of what God has promised, of what he had said that he would do. I already know that. It's only those that seek it. Probably Father only knows those people who are going to seek. Maybe he already knows those who are going to seek actually his kingdom. Maybe he already knows. But I put it to you today that the will of the Father needs to be done on earth. And it will be done, because all of God's purposes will be fulfilled on earth. Are you going to be a part of it? If you're going to be a part of it, you cannot sit still and do nothing about it. You better start as soon as you can. Start now. Start getting closer to the Lord. Building a relationship with the Spirit of the Living God. Start walking in obedience. Start seeking an understanding of the scriptures that you read, and you can then really put your heart to it. You do not understand it. Start to worship more. I'm not saying quit your job, but I'm saying make sacrifices. Become intentional. Spend ample enough good time to know God's will for your life. Because it's already set in stone. It is a book, and it has been written. If you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. How do you want to live your life here on earth? Are you going to live your life like, I escaped? Or are you going to enter into heaven like, yes, I did my Father's will and I prospered in it. I spent my life doing that which needed to be done. Because God's will comes with saving lives. God's will comes with peace on earth, like men say. Because everybody wants peace on earth. They do not understand that the only person, the only one who is able to give peace on earth is the Prince of Peace himself. And you have to search, seek, what is your will for my life? Because in Romans chapter 8, it says, for they that are called, he has glorified. So we are called. And beyond that, we have access to the Father. You know, sometimes I wonder what we think Christ did on the cross the day that he died. Christ said it is finished. He had done his work. It is now time for us to do ours. What Christ did was give us, he made a way for us. The work of Christ did not end on the cross. It started on the cross. Salvation did not end on the cross. It started on the cross. Christ's death brought everybody. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. What does that mean? It means to give all men access to the Father. It means to give access so everyone can come to the Father and seek his will. So everyone can come to the Father and draw near. Everyone can come to the Father because Christ walked this earth so that he would experience that which we are experiencing right now. So that he would know, and he would be able to succor, comfort, and strengthen us, because he knows. He knows what it's like to work on earth. But he's not going to be in vain. Do not frustrate that grace. Do not frustrate that sacrifice by just wanting to go to heaven. Yes, heaven is a holding place. Yes, when I die, after I'm done with all that I need to do, I will go to heaven. But like I said, all that I need to do, there is work to be done here. Like Abraham did, like Isaac did, like Peter did, like Paul did, like Daniel did. All these men sought after the will of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, actually, in Ephesians chapter 1, because even in Acts, the Bible is littered talking about how men seek the will of God. Ephesians 1, 7 to 9, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, because of his grace, because of his will, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The word mystery means secrets. The secret. You want secrets? Let's not forget. A treasure will change your life and change others with it. A treasure will take you from a nobody to that somebody. A treasure, which is the will of the Father here on earth being done, will give you life, an eternal life. Thank you for this time that you've spent with me, because there's going to be more understanding about the heavens, the kingdom of heaven. See you next time. Thank you very much.